Okay, so we're holding here in Villa Malshinim. Villa Malshinim is an anomaly as far as brachas go, because it wasn't meant to be of the original brachas. So a few points. We'll see. This idea that something that wasn't supposed to be of the original brachas and it got inserted later, I think we'll see something later on when we shine him that I think is significant about this. But I want to air just a vart before that I once saw, actually, Rav Soloveitchik has it in an essay where he writes, it's a hesped on Rav Chaim Helotl, but his point is, it says in the Gemara that they were looking for somebody to write Birchas Aminim. And they, you know, Nose Neem, Shmuel HaKotten, they had Shmuel HaKotten write it. So it doesn't sound as if Birchas Aminim is that complicated. I mean, it's a bracha. And his point was, what's unique about Shmuel HaKotten of the Tanoim is that Shmuel HaKotten was called Shmuel HaKotten because of his extraordinary anova. The Gemara has a story of how it is that he took the flak for something and so on. Shmuel HaKotten was a very, very self-deprecating person and so on. The few chazal we have about Shmuel HaKotten indicate that, and that's right. So he says, to write, to ask for downfall and destruction of somebody is something that most people you suspect have an agenda of sorts. You can't, if somebody curses somebody else for doing bad, for being wicked, you can't help but feel maybe the person has some sort of agenda. So you needed somebody who had no sense of self. It was kulish and shemayim. In other words, kanos requires as prerequisite total l'shem shemayim. I think it's a very good point, very salient point. Okay. So first of all, this bracha, of all the brachas in Shemoneh Esrei, as you would expect, has been the most heavily censored one. Everybody did not take kindly to calling for their destruction, and everybody took it very personal. So the two or three changes made, and you can detect it from the Rishonim, because all the Rishonim, when they write a pirush on the bracha, they write it very, very differently than we have it. Instead of Olam Al Shinim, they either had L'mishumadim or V'laminim. Those were, that's one change. Olam Al Shinim is not a change. V'Olam Al Shinim is certainly not the original Nuskot Bracha. It's either Minim, and that's why it's called Rasa Minim, or it's called Mishumadim. Two, in one of the others, you have, instead of Zedim, you have Mamleches HaZodin, or Malchus HaZodin, or Malchus HaShoah, which both of them, all of them, indicate, I mean, they're talking about Rome / Christian Rome. Well, Rome wasn't yet Christian at that time. It didn't come Christian for a while yet. But it was Rome and the blossoming Christian movement in Eretz Yisrael. That's what they were. Those are the two that they're talking about. So let's see the Riba Yaka. V'lam shemodim al tisikva al shem. It says v'tehila dal tikva. It says yef psukim that say that. Even the poorest, meaning the least merit of person, have all hope. It says Vatila Dal Tikva. Because of Nami, it says Mikve Yisrael. Because of Nami Vesh Tikva Lachvisecha. So anybody in Klal Yisrael has Tikva. Tikva means that in the end of it, things will be good. We once spoke about Tikva. The word Tikva comes from the word Kav, which is a line. In other words, there is going to be a hemshach. So even if a person goes through very difficult times, even if HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shalom is manage a person again, whatever, at the end of it, the line completes somewhere. There's tikva. So V'lashil Tisikva means It means answering something in simple language. When I say that people with X should not enjoy Y, will not get Y, somebody who comes with X like Y, there's an implication that somebody else does have it. You know, v'lamalshinim al tikva. So he says, yes, there's a concept to tikva for everybody else. For malshinim there's no tikva. Avalei lo mishumadim, lefi shenidoinim l'dayra dayras. V'chol aminim k'regi yevedu. He says, minim mishumadim din echad lehem. V'lekach loshen rega, al shem rega yamusu. Now, let's, I want to explain a point about this. There was a question, a big shaila, if a person has to be mosir nefesh, if somebody forces you to convert to Islam or not. The Rambam is stridently writes, no, it's not avodah zarah, you don't have to, and so on. Those who were against the Rambam, they held, there's a big difference between doing a maisa, like, okay, I'm going to do a maisa of doing an Islamic maisa. I'm going to acknowledge the godless of Islam. That is not avodah zarah, and a person does not have to be mosir nefesh. When you convert, it means you put your whole life in that context. Even if Islam per se is avodah zarah, it's an akira of Torah. But by saying I'm a Muslim, I'm saying I'm not a Jew. It's a much deeper akira, and therefore mechayim is nefesh. That's how people are against it. Anytime a person sees himself as Yisrael, the very fact that a person acknowledges he belongs to Klal Yisrael is a statement that in the end of it all, I really feel I belong to Klal Yisrael, and this is who I am, this is who I want to be. You know, I know that I have averus, I have impulses, I'm not in the mood to control myself, I don't feel like controlling myself, and so on. But in the big, big, big picture, the person has that to himself. So there's a certain mida keneged mida. The person's big picture is, you know, I'm b'shem Yisrael Yikari, I'm a member of Klal Yisrael, and there is a... And in the big, big, big picture, this is who I am, this is who I want to be. There are a lot of detours on the way and a lot of bumps. But if I see myself in the context of something else, I'm not Yisrael anymore. So even though technically for halacha is for having to give a get, for this, that, the other, he's still Yisrael, but in terms of schar, oinesh, bris, and so on, there's no avlum shemod, fish, and then there is. Vomish meis rabba. Amar Abrechi, Kidesh la Mishumodim, Vaminim Toysol, Oimishan Muhulan at Gehenim. The Mishumodim and Minim and Toysol are going to say, listen, it says in Chazal that anybody who has a bris doesn't go to Gehenim. So we had a bris, no one asked us questions that time. We won't go to Gehenim. We Makash Bahoisim, Shaleach, Malachim, Chasar, Losim, and Yodin Gehenim. Bekibish Gen Roy, Arlo, Patech, Pivla, Evasai, some Zel, T Tikva. So basically, what it's saying is, even though on a technical halachic level, you can't be mafkir Hashem Yisrael. And if the person does tshuva, whenever a person does tshuva, he's going to be Yisrael, doesn't need geirus. But lemaisa, at the end of the day, in terms of the world of Olam Habos, Harvonesh, the fact that the person has a bris, he's chosen to be made for the bris. The fact that the bris can never be really eradicated, that's Akash Baruch's cheshmer. But within his, you know, you made yourself into an oral, you will be considered an oral. Now he asks a kasha. V'te'oker namolom hazeh shem shum tik v'toyve. It says, te'oker, v'malchus azon te'oker, it's song malom hazeh. So he asks a kasha for famous Gemara Brachos. Everybody asks this kasha. It says in Gemara Brachos, v'gama noish letzadik lo tov. It's not good for a tzadik to punish people. In other words, you should not be mispallel that people should die or suffer, whatever it is. The famous Sacher of Meir, where he had all these bad people living by him, he was mispallel they should die, and his wife, one of the few cases where a woman was right in the against the husband, was she said, you should be mispallel yitamu chatoim lechoitim. So how do we make a bracha of Oshidim? That's his kasha. It's an obvious kasha. It's a difficult kasha. So he says...
Who's Moshe referring to?
What?
It's referring to Yiddish?
Well, this is also from the Malshinim. I mean, maybe Malchus Azod not, but Malshinim and so on. So he says, "V'od ha'maisi b'ros gamanosh tzak toiv hainu dafkel onsha bechreach ki hosem bekarbal tetan goylo shaf mashpos avichon lispal sheitiv lehem v'lo yishem at tefila yichodel she'ein echreach b'tefila." So he says, first thing he says is, when you punish somebody and you do it in a way where the person is has no choice, in other words, you're doing a maisik kishuf, or the person himself, or you're doing it physically, then we have a problem, because that's you're being rude to the person. It's up to Hakadosh Baruch Hu to decide. I'm saying that from my standpoint, this person is a tzorer, it's a tzora. He's doing harm, and I want him out of the way. It's up to Hakadosh Baruch Hu to make that decision, and I trust Hakadosh Baruch Hu to make the right decision. In other words, over there, he was going to do some sort of maisik kishuv or something where he was going to do it bechreach. Behind it, when you are the avishuuser of Meir, Domle, the visu, the miboy, Rachmud, Lada, b'tshuva, shreikva b'kashan lehem, kshamanu b'kibalim b'tshuva shleimo. V'im kenye shloma, v'im lo yotzalo shotil m'shuva taiva, kim oyni v'sur m'hazu l'hava. It says, but the Gemara speaks about the shav yusir, where she told us to mispal de shudu tshuva. So he says, in our bracha, we mispalel hashiveinu first, or tkabe shayfer, and so on. We mispalel for them to come back, and imloi we mispalel for beoike them because they're destroying us. So it's two prong. The first filler is Akash Baruch Hu should be meishav lebeim letoiv, and the second half of it is that if not, they're disturbing us. Okay, the next one, Malchus Zod Meir Ta'oker V'Sishove. That's his, again. That's his nusach. So he says, well, I'm skipping 2 or 3 lines. He has 3 klolas. Ta'oker Tishas Magil Malchus Zod Shem Edoim V'Huli Shlishi LaMalchus V'Kosher LeKulo Yedoy Deroy Dechsaf. And then you have Malchus Edom, Nikra Malchus Chayeves. Okay, let's talk about this a little bit. The Maral speaks, when he speaks about the Malchus, the old Malchus, We need to distinguish between a person who's a Rasha individually or a Malchus that's Rasha. The difference is, every person who's a Rasha individually, first of all, it's his choice. He can also do tshuva. He also has some hashpa over others, but not much. A Malchus is, first of all, in its core, The Maral speaks about the Dalad Malchi specifically. They move away from the Emes as a Malchus. In other words, it's not just they happen to choose the Averis. Their essence is some sort of going away from the center out. That's one. Two, the Malchus a Malchus itself has real koach in the Bria. It says that Yor ran after Acham because he was a Melech. So he ran after him because Malchus is something. Malchus is a koach that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to the Bria, and the person who is a Melech and has a Malchus has a real koach. Mitzad Hashpo and Mitzad power to do things. So if we're being mispalel on Malchus, this segment of the tefillah is keneged the Malchus HaRishah, and again our gears has been changed because it's called Zaydim, where they were scared of the censor. The Malchus Zodin would mean something specific, so we changed it. But really, it's specific about against Malchus. When we daven and Rosh Hashanah and you keep it at tefillahs of Chayin Tein, they're all geared against the Malchus. A Malchus is first of all a real Mahus, And secondly, it has the koch to take over the world. The Gemara speaks about Melachim that were Molech B'Kippah. They had the entire Bria under their feet, because that's the koch of Malchus. I want to point out one more Nikuda, and I guess this is more, it's a little bit of a finer Nikuda understanding this point. People have ideas. Someone comes along and tells me this, I believe in this, I think that, I think the other thing. Okay, you know, I listen, it's his feeling, I may agree, disagree, somewhat agree, fine. When a movement takes on a certain level of, what's the right word for it, presence, or it becomes a communism, is not one person's ideas, it became something that's a malchus. It gained traction and it became a real metzias. When something, there's a koyach in the bria, and as far as we're concerned, that's probably what malchus means to us today. We don't have malchus so much in the sense that we used to have. Certainly, royalty as such doesn't quite exist anymore. Nationalism is also less potent than it used to be. But what really is powerful is a movement that has a certain ideal to it. And it becomes, somewhere along the line, it crosses over from being someone's idea to a metzias. And at that point, it becomes extremely dangerous, because as long as somebody's talking to me and telling me, I treat it, you know, it's an idea, and yes, no. When something has a metzias, and this is it has presence, then I treat it as a davar shel yesh. It becomes an alternative to a deity. When a person says, if a person comes along and says, you know, I found many racks and bones that if I date it, I think the date is, shows a billion years ago, whatever it is. So that has one level of ashkar. If a person comes along and tells you science, with a capital S, has established this and this, then it's very, very different. Then it becomes a metzias. It's because somewhere along the line, an idea gets traction and becomes something very different than an idea. Malchus, of all the Malchus Rome, of all the Malchias, that stayed as the Malchus Zadeh. Malchus Rome had a certain koach of Malchus, and if we can explain it a little bit, both historically and the way it's written, you know, it's Malchus Bavel, Malchus Paras, and Malchus Rome not so much. Malchus Paras and Bavel were typical old-time Malchias. There was a king. He had a big, big, big appetite, lots and lots of people to fight, and lots of money, and he went out and conquered. He had no idea what he wanted to do to conquer things except plunder it, and that was it. So he would go there, he would rob it, and it would fall apart at some point because these things can't last. Rome's ideal, and to some degree Yavin in a different way, Rome's ideal was Malchus, in other words, presence. For Bavel or Paras, planting a flag in a foreign place was only important in the sense that so that nobody says, everybody says, off my turf and I can rob it blind. Rome wanted Shilton, and in that sense, it's the Zelum HaSev HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we talk about Malchus Shemayim, we're not talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, great and wonderful, this and that. It's not that it's important that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has all these countries that pledge allegiance to him. It's important that all the countries, that the world is part of a Malchus Shemayim. And the hefek of that was that. And the Christian church also, in as much that it grew out of Rome, it had a lot of that. The Catholic church, especially the Catholic church, sees itself as a Malchus. It divided up the world into parishes, into countries, into everything. There was a very, very strong sense of Malchus. And as such, it has an extraordinary ability to get its way. A Malchus gets it, Chazal say, Melech Paritz get away moichin. That's the nature of it. We recognize that there is authority that should supersede individual autonomy. That's an axiom for us, that people cannot live as individuals only. There has to be some malchus that can say, okay, we're building a road here. I know that you wanted to make, you want to open a store here, but the road's got to build somewhere. It's going to be here. I know that you want to go to college now. Well, you're going to the army and you're fighting. We understand that there's some sort of power that supersedes it. Rome is the core of that. And the church, the Catholic Church, which is the closest hemshech of Marzon, was like that. It was very, very much a malchus. They saw it as such. They in many, you know, many phases in history, they tried to be at least the boss. That was very much their kerch. So it's a special tefillah, kineged malchus zodin, because malchus in the world are a different type of ra. And I think that's why an individual, you can be responsible for tshuva. On a malchus, the etzem malchus is bad. A communist can change his mind. Communism it doesn't change his mind. It's an ideal that has to be shattered. And the malchus, each one is, and like the Maral explains what each malchus is, and Rome is the core of it. And he says, let's take a look. Oydeish kan arba bebrocha zoyshayis and rali Yisrael. Lemishimodim is one. Cholaminim, oyve amcha, and malchus zod. This is where he had his. This is his girsa. Rabbi Yoko was a Rebbe Ramban, so that's the. Heim kineged arba malchus kineged arba dvarim shasu mosaylam shepashadim bekisa kovet mar merishin vechriva v'sarf vehegos Yisrael and yever kashbarch zirv mizarom. And then he just brings the psukim for all the other terms that we used. Let's take a look at one more, the next page, finishing this, the Riba Yaka. V'lachein tiknolam shumodim b'shmoyne asre l'kalam shachas v'arvis kiramina psikta gaba molek ad boi shemesh kol amalchiyas eina oysum l'chome elad chatsi yoyim u'malchus chayeves oysum l'chome shachas v'arvis zeh malchus odi. So he says the reason why we were dafke put in shmoyne asre is because we wanted something to be there morning and night. Why? Because it says all malchus to make l'chom only till half day, then they take a big break and a siesta, and Rome is 24/7. What's the pshat? What does it mean? What are we talking about? The answer is, it's exactly what we said before. If a person is out to satisfy his tivus, so the person makes a big splash, and he runs and does his tivus. Chatzi yoyim is when that big push and pull is over and it's waning. Yom is the time when a person is active and out, and therefore the person does it and finished, over with. So if a person, so any koach that comes be'etzim from a personal type and a personal rotzen, it fizzles at chatzi yom. So there's a big push and then it wanes, just like the sun wanes, just the day wanes. Right? Malchus Chayova Rome is a koyach that wants totality. Just like they didn't, it wasn't Alexander kept going out and conquering till he died, basically. There wasn't, I mean, he conquered because there was stuff to conquer, that was it. There wasn't a musag, the totality. And same thing with Paras. It happened to be that they happened to conquer everything available, but there wasn't the matar. The matar was just conquest, money, blood, women, zehu. The Malchus Roimel wanted totality of Shulton, and therefore the tefillah needs to have in itself this mitzias of sort of a totality of Yom V'Layla. Okay, we'll hold it there. If you can say this, we have more to, I mean, just collect them, I guess. And,